Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That, by the way, one of the very rare missed shots that you will hear in the same sentence as Chinne Igwumike. Chinne and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. And the woman that Wayne Tinkle, head coach of Oregon State, just came on our show and called a walking bucket, which was hilarious, Janae, because as we've sat here all day, really all weekend, digesting everything from March Madness, our thanks to Paul Mills from Oral Roberts, Wayne Tinkle from Oregon State for joining the show. But hearing Wayne Tinkle, who's known you forever, you played basketball with his daughter Jocelyn, hearing him come on here and call himself a walking bucket the way that we have so often heard associated with you was a great reminder of just how true to this you are.
Thank you. I didn't want to, like, you guys were, like, buttering me up before I got to him, so I couldn't really go in like I want to go in now. But, yeah, y'all better recognize, because when I saw that whole, my nice little driver's license card with my numbers on, I was like, y'all better remember exactly next time you try to come with the energy that, oh, you didn't shoot threes. Did I need to, though?
It really, like, the timing couldn't have been worse for all of us, because Janae just mentioned it, the LA Sparks, the team that Janae and her sister NECA play for, put out these driver licenses with their stats from their last years at Stanford each respectively, and Janae's averaging like 26-12 with just under 2 blocks a game, shooting, like, it's offensive how good the numbers are, and we just wanted to have fun here one day, because Janae's better at us than most stuff, and so every once in a while, we just like to rib her a little bit, you know, treat her like she's one of the rest of us. And then we get reminded quickly that that just ain't the case.
Yeah, that's not it. But, like, I'm not good at a lot of stuff. I only show you what I'm good at, though. Like, that's the difference. Mm. I think if you can just show people what you're good at and hide the rest, you know, that's how you start finessing.
That's a bar right there. Show people what you're good at and hide the rest. Janae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Before we dive back into the tournament, though, Janae, we're going to have to find out what the rest of the Los Angeles Lakers are good at, because this weekend, high ankle sprain for LeBron James now has them in a very precarious spot here. So the Lakers star suffered an ankle sprain on Saturday in their loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And depending on what happens now, we're still waiting to hear the full update on this injury. But according to Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider on Get Up this morning, it could be a while.
They're still evaluating that high ankle sprain, but I'm told that the Lakers are preparing for the possibility they could be without LeBron James for 3 weeks, even a month. That's a normal time frame for recovery for that injury, but they're still firming up a timeline. James has shown in his career an incredible ability to recover quickly from injury and play through injury. But this one's not going to be so easy. And, you know, the Lakers, again, are preparing for the possibility. This is going to be weeks, not days.
Weeks and not days. And, Chinne, historically, that doesn't bode well for LeBron James-led teams. Tom Haberstroh tweeted this out earlier, a national NBA insider. One would expect LeBron James' team to struggle when he doesn't play, but to struggle this badly, and how badly is this badly? In LeBron James' career, when he has not played due to injury, his teams, whether it was the Lakers, the Cavs, or the Heat, are a combined 34-70. That's a 327 win percentage when he is not playing due to injury. So, Chinne, knowing that and knowing what history says in this spot, how are we feeling about the Lakers and their playoff chances now going down this stretch of the season where they could be without LeBron and AD for a long stretch?
I'm concerned. I am genuinely concerned. Now, my heart, as an athlete, as a competitor that's still playing basketball at the professional level, wants to say, oh, this will be a great opportunity for the supporting cast who the last 2 years we have called on to step up and to show us what they've got. Kyle Kuzma, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, where I can see Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, both the winner of Sixth Man and runner-up for Sixth Man, sort of do what Lou Will and Montrezl did for the Clippers, right? Like, maybe that tag team can hold them down for a couple of games. I'm looking at the supporting cast saying, like, oh, best case scenario, you find some guys, give them confidence and know that they are capable alongside LeBron James. Now, reality and more likely, maybe a little bit worst case, they could struggle, Junior, because I'm looking at the schedule and we're saying that the timeline can be 3 to 4 weeks. Who do they have up next? New Orleans, who, by the way, is not, even though they're not in the playoff situations or standings, they're a tough out with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. You've got Philly. That's still a tough out without Joel Embiid. Skipping around a few, soon you have Milwaukee. Sacramento is never easy to beat. The Clippers, Miami, Brooklyn, New York. I'm saying Brooklyn, New York, not like, no, I'm actually including the Knicks, like Brooklyn
New York. We did that for our producer, Shannon, here, who is a big-time Knicks fan. But they
and
are
he's flexing.
They are in the playoffs technically right now, and so we can list them there as a strong opponent in the Lakers' future.
And then you've got two Utah games all within the next month, and then Dallas. Two Dallas games with Luka Doncic and a team that's also getting healthier and the Mavericks that want to make a push. So things are not going to get easy. I do think this is a great opportunity for the Lakers to see if they can find people that will step up. The reality is, guess what, Junior? The NBA has changed. Teams are evolving. Like, if you're not having a great game, you will get beat. If you don't have your stars, you will double get beat. Look what happened to the Warriors. People relish right now in the opportunity to beat Golden State. And they won a couple years ago. It's not like it's very recent. People will relish at the opportunity to beat the Lakers because the Lakers just won a championship. And so I find this a really difficult position, not only for the Lakers, but also LeBron James, who just re-entered the conversation as MVP.
Chinna Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I think that's the difficult part. So now, as far as this, because of this move, team-wise, you mentioned the MVP race, but team-wise, the Nets have surpassed the Lakers at multiple sportsbooks now as the consensus to win the NBA title. Brooklyn winning 15 of their last 17 games, albeit without Kevin Durant, in 15 of those. And so we've seen in a couple of places the Nets moving from 2-1 odds to win the NBA title after James' injury.
It doesn't get much easier, Junior, because I think a lot of people say, oh, things are so much better. You know, things are more likely. The reality is for the Brooklyn Nets, they're still dealing with injuries. I know they just got Blake Griffin back, which is awesome. But Kyrie Irving, the news of the day, Kyrie Irving, per our own Malika Andrews, our own ESPN NBA insider and reporter, Kyrie Irving will not travel with Brooklyn Nets on their upcoming 3-game road trip while he deals with a, quote, family matter. So he will be missing a couple of games. They're still missing Kevin Durant, and they're slow with his return. Even though you're the favorites, I don't know. Like, Junior, this is a weird year, and this is where the greater conversation can come to. Maybe it's the NBA, right? Like, the turnaround, I always say this season has really been two seasons wrapped into one. Kevin Durant being out for a long time, will that affect chemistry for the Brooklyn Nets? Same way that Anthony Davis being out, will that affect chemistry for LeBron James? So we're at a unique point where it's heading down to the pressure point of two, two teams with championship aspirations where they both have two star players out. Will they be able to make things work or will they not? It'll be interesting to find out.
I think the difference in that, though, is Brooklyn still has a star out there. And I know this is like the simple math of it, but when you've got one of your cores out there, like I always say, you plant tent poles with certain teams, right? When you looked at the Patriots for years, the tent poles were Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft. When you had those three there, the circus could operate really, really well, and you all made a lot of money and had a ton of success. This is a two tent pole team in the Los Angeles Lakers. It's AD and LeBron, and we saw what it looked like without AD and without Dennis Schroeder, who is like someone that was weirdly valuable in his own right there. But that was a team. What did we say when AD went down? Great shot for LeBron James to go out here and cement his MVP case. And he balled, but they didn't start really winning until Dennis Schroeder got back, Chinna. And so now with just Dennis Schroeder out there kind of leading the charge on this, this is not how this team was built to function. It's wild to think about now that the Lakers might have to weigh in their mind the long-term future, because we still haven't heard about Anthony Davis. They haven't updated us on his condition with that Achilles. But how do you measure, if you're that team, wanting to be careful with these guys because they're your stars, especially AD because he's the star of your future, versus maximizing LeBron James' current window as a guy who's in year 18 right now?
LeBron James is a different beast. I know people are like, oh, yeah, like he's indestructible. No, he's capable of rolling his ankle and injuring himself. It just is a testament to how good he has been and how much he's invested in his body, $1 million on his body that he hasn't. But he's a different beast. If the Lakers continue to slide down the rankings to a point where I think LeBron James feels like they're in jeopardy, Woj, who just said it, earlier on this segment, Woj, the soundbite that we just heard, he's the type of guy that will probably play a little bit less than, knowing that he wants to make sure he's at a prime position for them to make a championship run. So LeBron James, while he might be resting to recover from this ankle injury, I wouldn't be surprised if things go so bad, he might push, his own boundaries to try to make sure the Lakers stay afloat.
This is a guy who has made it very apparent he wants to be out there, talked about the importance of playing every game for him. And so now you're right, feeling that sense of urgency. Going to be amazing to see if the Lakers can almost save LeBron from himself, even though we'd imagine he's going to be the one ultimately calling that shot.
Pretty much.
pretty safe assumption to make there. Now, at Chinna, at Mike Golic Jr., you can get at us on Twitter right now. How are you feeling about the Lakers' playoff chances? chances. And I think that's a legitimate thing to say with LeBron potentially out for an extended period of time. But coming up next, I had one big question for the NFL offseason, and it got answered this weekend. We'll tell you how next. Chinay Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ingle Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Ogwumike, and reminding you, if the signals are going in a railroad crossing, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks ever. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration.
That read is actually crazier than I thought. Just hearing it out loud.
All right, so for like, just like, listen, let's take everyone behind the curtain right
here.
Oh,
man.
Because I can't keep my composure, and I want to do right by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. Because they put that in there, like, we have all these reads within the body of a show, and they come from a bunch of different places. And this one, for whatever reason, as I sit here and read it now, did not have the brought to you by National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. And so when my producer, Shannon, first put it up on the screen, I'm looking up there, and sometimes he'll write notes to me there. If he wants to get something clever comment in during the segment that he's going to let me take credit for, he'll put it up on the screen in front of me. And all I see are, if the signals are going in a railroad crossing, don't be tempted to stop to try and sneak by across the tracks. Ever. Stop. Trains can't. I'm just like, that's weird advice to be giving me right now out of nowhere. And apparently that was a read. And it's great advice. Because I always say this about cars, Chinay, when we talk about people that have the right of way or anything like that and trying to abuse that privilege in spots. It's like, bro, when I'm walking on the street, someone else is driving a 2-ton iron death horse. Do I really want to try the cars? Now up that a millionfold for a train. So just don't do it. It seems like easy advice.
Well, that's what they should have just written, right? What you just said. That was hilarious. Wait, one more time. One more time.
If the signals are going at a railroad crossing, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Ever. Stop. Trains can't. And I promise, I'm not making light of this. I understand it's very important.
Very important.
It's just not what I'm expecting when we're getting ready to talk about the New York Giants in a segment, Chinay.
Me neither. I mean, maybe they should just stop. Just stop.
Stop. Because trains can't. And everyone needs to remember that. Now, Chinay Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We did have news. And Chinay, you and I talked about this last week as we enter now the second wave of free agency here. There have been very few wide receiver signings in the initial wave. We were wondering what was happening to that group. And we were wondering with the New York Giants, were they doing enough for Daniel Jones in that team? Because he's going into his third year as a starter. He's a quarterback that I still have a bunch of questions about. And so to find that out, you usually have these put up or shut up, these erase all doubt years. We just saw Baker Mayfield coming off a year where he's got all these weapons. They brought him protection in an offensive line. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs comes over. They get these years, and these guys pass the test. Those franchises now know they've got a quarterback of the future. And so the Giants went out. On Friday, we talked to them. They signed Kyle Rudolph, former Minnesota Vikings tight end, my roommate at Notre Dame, one of my best friends. They bring over that, quarterback's best friend, as everyone always says. Then over the weekend, they signed wide receiver Kenny Galladay from Detroit, the free agent who was at the top of most people's class when it came to the wide receiver free agent class this year, a group that we'd seen taking a bunch of one-year deals. So, Chinay, when you look at this now, do you think this is enough, the weapons we see around here, for the Giants to get a definitive yes or no answer on Daniel Jones in 2021?
I think it is enough, just because I always say it's the peer pressure that is hurting these young quarterbacks, Daniel Jones alike, even Tua Tagovailoa stepping into the reins in a year where Joe Burrow looked great in his first year as a Bengal, or Justin Herbert really thrived in his situation where he was not planning on being the starter, but ends up having one of the best rookie seasons for a quarterback, right? So I think it's the peer pressure that forces this prove it year for Daniel Jones and the Giants, especially after upping their targets. And we might be totally biased based on Rudy, but totally unbiased when it comes to Kenny Galladay, because he's been like, a lot of us have been saying, all right, Trent Williams, we're wondering where he's gonna go, and Kenny Galladay was the next name that we sort of were all intrigued by. And now having that, I mean, the NFC East, I'm trying to make an allusion that Cliff said in my head, I can't get it out of my head. Cliff, train wreck, you messed me up with the train reads. The NFC East has been a place where anyone is right for the taking. And I think that's why Dak, you know, signing that long-term deal has really helped him, because now you feel like, okay, the expectations were supernova levels, and then this is a franchise that sort of has been humbled, and now let's not put the expectations on them to win a Super Bowl, but right now we know that he's the best quarterback and this is their opportunity with the division. But still, there's a lack of continuity there amongst everyone in that division that I feel like the Giants can make a run. I just don't think it's at the ceiling is not the same for other teams, but this acquisition makes you at least hopeful. I'm trying to like provide Shannon, our producer, some hope. This acquisition makes you hopeful that he makes a jump. But if he doesn't, it does apply more pressure. And I'm speaking of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think that's just it. Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio is, I don't think they're the best team in the division now after this move. I don't think it vaults them up that much. And I think, quite frankly, they overpaid for this. Kenny Golladay signed a four-year deal worth $72 million that could be worth up to $76 million.
But don't you have to, though?
With, I always say, $40 million guaranteed. And I think they had to. Because kind of like we saw with the Patriots, when you had the kind of year they had last year, they were going to have to pay a premium to get people to choose New England here. They were going to have to go out and use money to do that. And for the Giants, to get an answer about your quarterback, because what have we seen just happen recently? Chicago hangs on to Mitch Trubisky for too long, and now they're in a quarterback hell situation. Yep. Heading into 2021. We saw the Jags do this with Blake Bortles not too long ago. Hang on to him for too long before they got through theirs. Now they're in a full reset at this point in time. I think Daniel Jones, you just want an answer at that spot. If you win the NFC East, great in that process, but you want to go out, and I think they've still got needs, interior offensive line, pass rush that they have to address, but put weapons around your young quarterback, take the handcuffs off this year, and say, we've got to see what you are fully and truly with as many answers around you as possible. And if that answer is something you don't like, then I have a feeling that's going to involve a lot of change with that Giants organization. But, Chenae, the last thing you want to do is spin the wheels too long on a quarterback that might develop a very clear ceiling that's below the level that you're looking for. So at least they can get that.
Do you think that, you know, for a long time, it's been give the quarterbacks a lot, you know, time for them to get their feet wet, give them time to develop, mentor them. Do you think that the recent change with how the league has really been taking on by these young QBs that have stepped into opportunity well, do you think that's more of a product of what we're seeing in the game recently, or just this is what the situation manifests in New York?
I think it's a little bit of both, Chenae. I think what we've seen with the CBA is young quarterbacks are cheap. It's one of the biggest assets. Everyone knows that. We can say it till we're blue in the face. A young quarterback's contract, a rookie contract, is a huge asset for teams. But I also think that we've seen, if you find out within that contract early on that that quarterback's not going to do it, and depending on where you are in your timeline as a team, because the Giants and Dave Gettleman are in a different timeline as a team than what we saw going on in Miami with them down there and the runway out in front of them, what True. We're seeing in Carolina right now with Matt Rhule and the way they've extended the runway for that team, the Giants are at a different spot. They need answers, and they need them sooner than later. And that's why, for me, I think Cleveland and the Bills are great, great comps for them in that spot. So I think the Giants are in a position to get answers. We will see if they like them. And remember, if the signals are going at a railroad crossing and the Giants sign a wide receiver, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks to Philly. Ever. Stop. NFC East takes can't. That is how you tie it all together. Coming up next, as if that wasn't brutal enough for all of you guys, we got to head to the gutter because we gave you the NCAA tournament winners earlier in the show. And now it's time to head to the lowlights. And spoiler alert, Big Ten, you're involved. That's next after this word from Body Armor.
Stop. Drop. I feel like we should have played that music while we're doing that read, okay? Let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle and flavors like Berry Punch. And y'all know I love coconut. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like myself, Mike Gold Jr., albeit retired, and Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, and Megan Rapinoe, friend of the show, use Body Armor Light to help stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Guess what? You can learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Now, we already did the winners, the best of the best. Now on to the lehus and hers from March Madness. So far, we'll get to that right after this on Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. As Janae would say, it is halftime around these parts. Half-time. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Janae's coming off her 29th birthday this weekend. Belated happy birthday. But Janae, you're starting to feel, and like, listen, we won't get into like anything that like you may or may not have done during your birthday weekend, but you're starting to learn, like, you haven't necessarily hit that 30 threshold yet, but everything hits a little bit harder now. Like, I got to plan out recovery time for days anytime I think about even sitting on my porch and just having a few adult beverages in my own home.
That's exactly what you're... By the way, I FaceTimed Junior after I got my gift, and he was literally walking on the street trying to get his steps in just so that he could sit down and have beers and watch the game.
Pretty much, yeah. I just say I had to get a couple of miles in, just go for a nice walk. It's amazing. It's low impact, Janae. Like, you're still an athlete, so you're used to, like, dynamic movement. I don't do that anymore. Me and dynamic movement way bye-bye a long time ago. I'm just trying to keep my heart working right and to basically stay in enough shape to eat whatever Christine Lisi makes here at ESPN. Yes. Radio and drink a couple of beers on my porch from time to time.
But we made it. Hey, we made it here to Monday. I've got the energy, but I did say in the break, I was like, I'm going to need y'all to help me carry through after this half, because normally I'm carrying y'all through these breaks with, like, let's turn up. I'm like, y'all going to help me out here.
You know what? Every once in a while, we can fill your energy bucket. Thank you. I got just the thing we gave you, the NCAA, the top five things from the NCAA tournament through the first weekend for the men and women. It's time to head to the gutter, and it's time to go there hot. Oh, that was
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
Oh, man. That music just gets me in the mood. Coming in hot is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. And Janae, let's give it to him. The bottom five things, the losers that we saw this weekend from the NCAA tournament. Number five, Cliff.
Let's go.
Number five.
This one is particularly fun for me at this place. Syracuse's Newhouse Public School of Public Communications. We have a lot of Syracuse grads in the building around here. And I say that because they didn't exactly get the most ringing endorsement from their head coach, Jim Boeheim, after their win this weekend. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim was asked about criticism in recent years despite postseason success. He said, quote, "I don't hear it, because it's from people that are inconsequential. They don't matter. Not one sentence on the internet matters. Not one." I have a feeling there's a lot of Syracuse Journalism School grads that would like to beg to differ there, so maybe get on the same page with your head coach.
Yeah, get on the same page. Come on, you guys have to represent each other here. Come on now.
ELE, struggle is real. Number four.
Number four.
I love this one.
This one's just a personal hang-up for me. So this weekend, Illinois went out and got dropped by, I believe it was Loyola Chicago. Got dropped by Loyola Chicago. And today, I'll tell you the moment I knew it was going south for them, really. 8 minutes left in the second half. Illinois trailing by five. The number one seed, my pick to win the entire tournament. And all five Illinois starters slapped the court in unison at the start of a defensive possession that gave up a very easy basket and proceeded to get outscored 21-16 down the final 8 minutes of this game on the way to a loss. Chiné, court slapping has never once worked for any parties involved, and it sure as hell doesn't work when you got Krutwig on the other side for Loyola Chicago.
There you go. I think that's one of those things that you grow up and they're like, do this and that'll get you. And you're like, you're young and you do the court slap and you're like, yeah, I'm playing defense. And then you realize, oh, snap, like, when I drop and slap the floor, they're just going to run by me. Like, disconnect there. Coaches, stop it. Stop it.
They're going to drag you. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio giving you losers. From this weekend's tournament one. Number three.
My turn.
Number three.
Speaking of the gutter, number three, the worst thing that you sort of saw here was clearly, you know, on the women's side, while we had a lot of upsets on the men's side, right? On the women's side, not the case, and I'm happy because I'm a Stanford grad and we're number one overall. For the first time since March 20th, 2010, the better-seeded teams went 16-0 on a single day in the first round of the NCAA women's tournament. Now, in contrast, the men's tournament, four double-seeded, double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 for just the third time since seeding began. Oral Roberts, Oregon State, and Syracuse all pulled upsets entering the Sweet 16. On the women's side, first round, 16-0, top seeds won it all. Now, we did get an upset today, but still, the women are handling doing the business. So if you are a team that is dealing against a top seeded in the women's game, you're in for pretty much a long night.
You better come correct on this one. And Janae mentioned BYU, the 11th seed, getting a win over number 6 Rutgers in the women's tournament today. So we got one, but you're going to have to come with a little more than that. Our favorite number.
Number 2.
This one goes out to the whole kit and caboodle right here, Janae. We walked in, and it is the classic jacked bunny versus small bunny meme that you see on the internet. The regular season, Big Ten on the men's side, and whatever we've gotten in the postseason. Per Jeff Goodman, the Big Ten have yet to send a team to the Sweet 16. That was yesterday, including teams that were out. Number 1 seed Illinois, number 4 seed Purdue, number 2 seed Ohio State, as well as Rutgers, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. And after today, we get to add 2 seed Iowa to that mix, who lost to Oregon earlier in the day. And so they still got Michigan and Maryland alive in all of this. But, Janae, the Big Ten on life support in the men's tournament right now after a stellar season.
Normally people say that's what happens to the Pac-12 teams. Well, guess what? Not today. Not today.
Losers, in other words.
Well.
Number 1.
Number 1.
Number 1. Well, you're going to have to wait for number 1, because coming up next, Gary Bertier once famously said, attitude reflects leadership.
Leadership.
Coming up next, I will show you the true source, the black hole where leadership goes to die, and what they had to say today.
Man,
we'll do
that's
that.
Dark, Junior.
It's dark, but it's true on this one. Gary Bertier wasn't telling lies. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. By the way, I love that we were able to pull that Jeopardy sounder here. Cliff, can we play that one more time?
Losers, in other words.
Well,
the late Alex Trebek there talking about one contestant who described nerd rapping, essentially, on that show. Alex Trebek, always ready.
We don't shame nerd rapping around here. Come on now.
Well, I was going to say, we have one of the world's foremost nerd rappers on this show,
actually.
Thank you.
But I guess that makes me a loser, and I'm cool with it if it's Alex Trebek saying it.
That is true. Rest in peace to the GOAT on that one. Let's get to this word from Indeed, because when you own a business, you're the owner of everything. Sales, finance, customer service. And fortunately, Indeed is uniquely qualified to help you really own hiring. Right when you sponsor a job post, Indeed's Instant Match researches through millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately. Then you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires. 4 times more than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. The what not to do of Leadership 101 next on Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're going to talk about accountability in this segment. Standing up and raising your hand when you've made a mistake. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And Janae, before we get to number 1 in our rankings of the worst things we saw from the NCAA tournament opening weekend here, I owe a lot of people an apology here. I want to acknowledge when I mess up on certain things.
Okay.
At Janae and at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can always hold us accountable on Twitter. And Nick Mancini tweeted in, because teasing this segment, I said, quoting Gary Bertier, attitude reflects leadership. Nick reminded me, at Mike Golic Jr., got to correct you, it was Julius Campbell.
I was about to say,
attitude reflects leadership. Gary didn't. To Gary.
Thank you. I was about to say, the name Gary didn't sound like it had enough on it for it to be that line. Attitude reflect leadership. There was some sauce on that line. And so when you said it was Gary, I was like, hold up. Was it Gary?
That is true. Gary would not be able to put his foot in that one enough.
Exactly. It was more Julius. Attitude reflect leadership.
He threw that.
Oh, I did it pretty well.
He threw the captain in there at the end, too. Really let it hurt. So I want to apologize to all the people that I've hurt there. And today I'm going to raise my hand, and when I am wrong, you are always going to know, because you and I were both raised like that. When you come up through athletics, that's the number one thing. And I can always remember this as an offensive lineman. You're 1 of 5, and the last thing on earth you want to do, and anytime I've talked to like Jeff Saturday, Mark Schlereth when he used to work here, you are always paranoid about letting the other guys down. And so when it comes to meetings and it's your fault, you're going to raise your hand. If I miss a block, you're going to know it was me, and you're going to know why. Because if you can't count on me to own up then, how can you count on me when we're out there on the field? That's just, it's not how it works.
Sorry, you remind me of the guy on the commercial that said, I touched the ball, coach, and it went out of bounds, and you lost the game.
All right.
But I get your point.
All right.
I'm
not that lame, all right? That kid, Cliff, play Trebek again.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
yeah, you can't be acting like that kid there. If the ball die with the line.
No, but I get your point. Keep going, Junior. I get your point.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's finish this up because we were doing our bottom five things from the NCAA opening weekend of March Madness. And so, Cliff, hit him with number one in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Cliff was trying to decide if he prayed.
Number one.
He was trying to decide whether he pressed number one or one and done.
I threw them both at them at the same time. It was like throwing two balls at someone and seeing which one they were going to try and catch first.
He didn't know which one to do. Okay, Junior, sorry, keep going.
We got him on that one. The worst thing that we saw this weekend in the NCAA, Janae, was leadership. Leadership or the attempt.
Number one.
Leadership or the attempt from it by the NCAA.
Violence, Cliff.
Always choose violence around here. And Janae, that was how I felt Friday, though. I was watching College Game Day as we were heading into this weekend, heading into March Madness. And it actually came up. It was Saturday morning because I was watching on there. And Jay Billis, who, as he always does, our ESPN basketball analyst, brought up a point. Up until that point, and up until today, we had gone the entire weekend with everything that had happened, with all the issues surrounding the start of the women's tournament, the lack of the proper facilities for them relative to the men's tournament, the lack of the proper food, all the above. We had gone till today, 4 days, without hearing from Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA. Mark Emmert, who came out and echoed all of the previous talking points that we had heard from the people underneath him that had been standing in front of all this, taking the shrapnel, instead of the person there, Chinee, it frustrates me to no end because it should be so simple. Like, again, I bring up you and I coming from team sports because accountability and leadership have one simple tenet. When it's your fault, say so. And if you're the leader, spoiler alert, everything under you is your fault, or it should be that way. Because if people are expected to follow you, how can they have confidence in that if they don't see you willing to stand up and have their back and own up when things are ultimately your fault? And so that's why seeing this, the silence for 4 days from Mark Emmert to then come out and just echo the same old stuff, frustrates me to no end because it's so blatantly failing on leadership 101. On the bare minimum you got to do to show you're worth the position you're in leading other people. And it's unfortunate because this seems to be a time and time again thing where anytime an NCAA issue comes up, it's the blue slate with a statement. I joke that that's the leader of the NCAA because anytime there's a problem, that's all we see. And it's just ridiculous because it fails to clear the lowest possible bar.
Every time we have an issue with NCAA and how problems happen, it's because of them choosing, because you have to make an active choice, choosing to be reactive instead of proactive. And it blows our mind considering that we went through a year, we're a year removed from the process of this pandemic starting, knowing that multiple leagues were going to have to figure out how to handle sports. And so to have that head start after you'd made the tough decision of canceling March Madness, now transitioning to it being back, and to still drop the ball, pun intended, on the facilities and say, oh, well, we didn't intend for it to be that way, but it just happened. That's not good enough, especially 4 days removed from that incident where you could have jumped and said, look, a lot goes into, you know, building this environment and we made a mistake and we're going to correct it. Honesty is the best answer, but instead it's just continuing to be reactive. And when it came to Mark Emmert, it was absolutely way too late and too long.
We had already kind of assumed that Mark Emmert and the NCAA don't always care about the interests of the athletes, but I think everyone that works for Mark Emmert learned that I don't know if he cares an awful lot about you based on the way that we saw those actions working either in that spot. Now, college basketball season's reached tournament time. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Perfect time for this one. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Back after this, Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Number one.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.